Please turn, if you would, to the book of Psalms, the 27th Psalm. Psalm 27:4 will be my text today. Psalm 27:4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." When people are successful, we often look at what they do and how they do it. Now, David is described as a man after God's own heart, and we would do well to consider what he did and how he did what he did. And our text gives us an indication. I submit that as Christians, we likewise should pursue after God. And what should we do, and how should we do it? Well, of the many contributing factors, it is my desire to focus on a single item. It is my objective to discuss from this passage one thing. You found it in our reading. One thing. That is the title of my message today. Let's pray. Again, Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Our heart goes out to those who would love to be with us today that cannot due to sickness or providential hindrance. We pray that you bless them. We pray for those that are traveling that you would protect them. We pray for the bereaved that you would comfort them. You've heard our request, and Lord, we just commit those to you. Bless our time today. Help us to focus upon you and upon your word. May we worship you in spirit and in truth, and may you be honored and glorified. We ask for those that are in our midst that are lost, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ today, that you would send conviction to their heart by your Holy Spirit and draw them, and we pray that you would save them today. And we just thank you for all that you will do. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise that is due unto you today and to none other. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. We want to think about our passage here today, and in order to do so, I believe it's necessary for us to have an introduction or about the context. I want to discuss what we find and where we find it. In this chapter, you will find that in verse 1, so glance there, that he states that the Lord is his strength. And he says, "Whom shall I fear?" God in the past had delivered David from his enemies. And if they should come again, he shall not fear, for God will protect him. And then he says in verse 3, "In this will I be confident." Then it seems as though in verse 4 that this is a basis for such a confidence. I'll be confident in the Lord, and here's why. That's our text. But then in verse 5 he says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion." Going on to say, "He shall set me upon a rock." With this being the case, he will be lifted up above his enemies, as you notice in verse 6. In verse 7, he begins to pray, "Hear, O Lord." And then in verse 9, "Hide not thy face far from me." And in verse 11, he asks, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies." And so from verse 1 through verse 6, he states his confidence in the Lord, and he trusts God to deliver him. But then, although he has confidence in the Lord, it is as if he remembers that he still needs the Lord's helping hand. So he prays for God to hear him, to be near him, to teach him, to protect him. And then with his prayer and dependence on God, and how that dependence is renewed, notice verse 13, he says, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Now our text, verse 4, lies within his original statement of his trust in the Lord. And as I have said, it appears that this is the basis for his trust. So I would like for us to look into our verse 4, and try to discover its teachings, and then endeavor to make a practical application of them. Verse 4, once again, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. First thing I want to bring to your attention is the beginning of that text where he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Now, it seems to me, if you look into the passage, you'll recognize that there are three things that are being listed there. And we will look at those three things in just a moment, but he responds at the beginning and says, one thing have I desired. And so these three things found within the text are interlinked. And so as he talks about, well, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. Can you dwell in the house of God without beholding the beauty of the Lord? Can you inquire without dwelling in the Lord? And so all these things are part and parcel as he desires to worship God and to serve Him with his whole life. But he says one thing. I've entitled the message, One Thing. And so as we think about this today and we delve into the three items that are listed in the text, well, it's still one thing, isn't it? And so may we have the same approach as David. This is one idea. He desires it of the Lord. But I submit unto you, as he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that this desire is not just a matter of I want it, but it is also to the point of asking for it also. Have you ever desired something, but you just really don't do anything with that desire? You never respond to it? David here says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and he says, I'm going to respond. I'm going to seek, and then we mentioned these things in the text. There's a motivation behind that. And I believe that we ought to do the same. As we seek the Lord's face and we endeavor to serve Him as His people and to be obedient, that when God lays these desires on our heart, we ought to have enough desire to ask God about that. God, make this true. Make this develop. And Lord, we just want to honor You and praise You with our lives. David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Now, if you read some of the commentaries, the commentators, some of them will say that this is a statement or a wish of returning. Because in his prayer, it points to the troubles that he has. And they feel as though this was the time when David had to flee the city. And so his desire and his seeking was in order to return to Jerusalem. And you recall down at the end of David's life, Absalom rebelled and he had to flee. And so they are saying that some of the commentators say that this desire and the seeking is just all in response. He wants to go back there. And so it's as a recourse to the events and circumstances which he is experiencing. They submit that, but I see it as another way. I see this as a statement, really a declaration of his heart's desire. This was simply the condition of his heart and mind. Well, I don't believe this only has to apply to the matter of, oh, I'm fled from Jerusalem and I would like to go back. I think this is something that David had on his heart. He was a man after God's own heart, as I expressed in the introduction. And this was something that he thought of on a regular basis. This is his desire. One thing have I desired for my life. And we have it here in the text. And so there's a difference between just wanting an experience to come about and something that you do continually. For example, as a pastor, I desired a pastor. I desired a pastor because God has laid it on my heart to do so. And so I have that desire. But it's just not a one-time event. It's a continual thing. So this is something that David has on a regular basis. You say, well, I don't agree with that. I agree with the commentators. That's fine. But just notice that David has this heart's desire. Then he says in our text, that first part of that phrase there, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. And that word seek in the original language there in the Hebrew is an intense seek. You know the difference between seeking and not seeking, don't you? You can seek and not really seek. You say, what do you mean? For example, many years ago when I was a younger man and I lived in the city of Dayton, I got laid off from my job, and this was way back in the years, and things were very tough in the economy. It was hard to find a job, and so I got laid off, but I was getting unemployment. You know how that works, and so I was receiving unemployment. But one of the conditions of unemployment is you have to look for work on a weekly basis, and then you had to fill out your form, and Well, then that, you know, they would send you your unemployment if you don't get hired. But you had to work and you had to list where you went. Well, at that time, I was going to school and I was desirous to focus more on my education, but one of the requirements is that I had to look for work. And so I did look for work. I looked for work within my field, but I went to places that I knew would not hire me. You say, well, that's kind of crooked. Well, I was seeking, but I wasn't really seeking, was I? You can do that. You can have a desire and you just kind of half-hearted do it and kind of skirt around the edges. And then there's the seek. When the unemployment runs out or it's really where the rubber meets the road, then you'll be out there. And then you'll be knocking on every door hoping that anybody, any place would give you a job. There's a difference to seek. And David says in the text here, he says, I desire this and I'm going to seek after it. This is an intense seek. This is not something that he just puts on the back burner. This is David's heartbeat. Does that make sense to you here in Psalm 27 as we read that? Well, let's look at that second phrase in the text as we begin to look at these three items that he lists for us. He says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David wishes to dwell in the house of God. Now, I want to submit unto you that this is more than a physical abode. In other words, when you go to your house, you live at your house. But there's a difference between living and living, isn't there? You can live in a building, but not necessarily live there. It's not really your house. It's not really your home. You just use it as a sleeping place, perhaps. But to live there, to dwell in the house of the Lord, just not the idea that David says, I want to be exposed to God's house. But I'm interested in it. I'm involved in it. And there's a difference there, isn't there? Sometimes, you know, we had two kids, and sometimes kids, you know, if they go to somebody's house, and we didn't have neighbors to this effect, but if you have children and they go to the neighbor's house, and they could be over there all day and all night, pretty much, and then they come home and eat and then sleep and then go back over. And they're always at the neighbor's house. And the parent will say, you know what? You practically live there. You know why? Because that's their involvement. They actually abide in your house, but they're always over there. And that's where they're involved with. That's where their life is being unfolded. And so they live there in that sense of the word. You understand what I mean? Now take somebody that goes to the ballpark all the time. You know, he goes to the ball games, go down to see the Redbirds, or you go up there to St. Louis and watch the Cardinals. And here you can go down to the park and you can get season tickets or you can go to the U of M games. You're always at the park and what they'll go is, you live there, don't you? We understand that phrase, don't we? Well, you live at the ball field. You live at the stadium. Well, David says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life. David had a desire for God's house. And I believe that he had an interest in being involved. There was a commitment there. His desire, I submit unto you, was one of full service and one of obedience. And so I would summarize this first point about dwelling in the house of the Lord. I would boil it down to two words: serve Him. Serve Him. And of course, recognize the important function of the house of the Lord involved with that service. But I also want to bring to your attention, when you think about David and his expression here in the text, wanting to dwell in the house of the Lord, that you have to remember that the house was still the tabernacle. You see, it's easy to think about in terms of like the church or something like that. But remember the tabernacle in the wilderness when Moses and the children of Israel came up out of Egypt, met God at Mount Sinai, and God gave instruction, and God gave the description to Moses, and they made the tabernacle. Well, they carried that thing all the way through the wilderness, and they brought it into the land when they entered into the land of promise 40 years later. And they set that place up at Shiloh. And that's where the tabernacle was. And that's David's expression here is, I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, when David moved to Jerusalem, he brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem and put it in a tent. This was the place of worship. And so David says, I want to dwell in that house. He wanted to be responsive to it, involved, active. He wanted to serve God through that place of worship. There are three things when I think about the tabernacle that I want to submit unto you and just make a very quick application. Number one is that the tabernacle was a house of sacrifice and a house of atonement. That's where the priests served, and that's where the offerings were made, and the blood was shed, and they would go into the Holy of Holies and offer up the blood on the great Day of Atonement. The house of God was a place of sacrifice and atonement. It was also a house of worship. And David expresses that, this is what I desire to do, but it was a house of service. And you think about those things and translate that over to our day and time and into the matter of the church. Remember that we preach Christ and Him crucified. And this house is a place of, well, it's not sacrifice and atonement as it is a matter of we declare the sacrifice and the atonement of which Jesus Christ is made. This is not only that place of sacrifice and atonement as we declare Christ, it is a place of worship. We come here to worship God. We worship in spirit and in truth. And as David would go to the temple to worship, or the tabernacle, we would come here to worship. And that's why you're here today, I trust. But this is also a house of service. And this is where you can put your lamp upon the lampstand. This is where you can serve God and do it through His church. And so this was the tabernacle of which David was talking about here. So we go back to our text. Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. The first thing he says is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Second thing, he says to behold the beauty of the Lord. That word behold means more, it's a word that means to perceive, but it's more than just a sight. It is a perception along with that sight. It is seeing with intelligence. Does that make sense to you? You're able to make a differentiation. In other words, I could take a quick glance out here and I can see you and then move along. Or I can take a glance and look and differentiate and notice what you're wearing and notice what your hair is and so forth. There's a difference. And David's expression here is where he says that I want to behold. It is not just something that passes the eyesight and enters into our brain. This is something where he can differentiate. He can really distinguish. Do you do that with the things of God? Do you do that when you come to the house of God? Or is this just a passing moment? Where as soon as you walk out, you don't remember anything that really was said or happened. That's just a glance. Well, I want you to differentiate. I want you to see with perception and to be able to distinguish. Now, David says in the text that he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord, have a great involvement. I use those two words, serve Him. But then he says he wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, that word beauty means that which is pleasant. It is a delightfulness. The verb form of this word means lovely or pleasant. Now, is he speaking of God's glory? And you know, I trust, by looking into the Scriptures that there were times where the Shekinah glory would fill the temple of the Lord, and it was called God's glory, and the priests could not enter in when that happened, and when that filled the temple, they couldn't enter in. Is he speaking of that glory? Perhaps. But I submit to you that more so he's thinking about the recognition of the goodness of God's presence. God, if I may say so, dwells in His house. He said that then. He still does that and says that today. God dwells in His house when we come together. Where two or more are come together in His name. He meets with us. Can we come into this house and see the glory of God? Now, we're not talking about some special smoke or anything that's going to happen like that. But can we see the beauty of the Lord and His work and the recognitions that He is here and what He is doing? I believe that we can. And so David says, I want to go to the house. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, I see this as a remembrance and an acknowledgement of who God is. What I see here is that he has a desire to remember God. So as he comes to the house, he wants to dwell there. He wants to serve Him there, but he also wants to see the beauty of God while he is there. And so he wants to remember who God is and what God has accomplished. And the two words that I would attach to this that in summary would be worship Him. The first two were serve Him. He comes to the house now to worship Him. Is it your desire to come to the house of the Lord to worship God? That was David's heartbeat. That's what he desired to do, and that's what he sought after intensely to do. And he says in that second aspect then, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now I ask you, does he mean that that is the only place you can see God's beauty? While you're dwelling in his house? No, I don't think that is the case. I mean, certainly outside the tabernacle, God's beauty can be seen, can it? Let me offer you a suggestion or two. I believe God's beauty or God's loveliness can be seen in the creation. Doesn't the Scripture tell us that we can look and see how these things are made and God receives the honor and the glory? It's God's handiwork. When you go outside and you look at up the stars and you look at the creation, isn't that the beauty of God? Can you see it outside of His house? Yes, you can. The house of the Lord is not the only place that you can find the beauty of God. I believe that we might also, by example, see the beauty of God in His dealings with man. Scripture tells us it rains upon the just and the unjust. God's long-suffering toward the unbelieving world. Isn't that the beauty of God? Can't we see God's glory in all that? I believe that we can. And then I submit unto you as a way of an example that we can see the beauty in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. How marvelous is it that Jesus would leave heaven, come to earth to die on a cross for me, that I might be saved. And that, dear sinner, that you might have eternal life. Do you not see the beauty of God in these things? But oh yes, as you go to the tabernacle, you would go into that tabernacle and you could see such beauty. And so here the psalmist speaks of the house of the Lord. And if you did go into the house of the Lord, if you did go into the tabernacle, what would you see? Remember what it was like? As you enter to the front of the tabernacle, you would see an open court with a brazen altar and the laver. And that's where the sacrifices were made before God. If you were able to go into the holy place, then you would look in, step into that little room, and you'd see to the left the candlestick. Is not Jesus the light of the world? And you look to the right, and you'd see the table of showbread. Is not Jesus the bread of life? Straight ahead, you would see the altar of incense, and Jesus is the sweet-smelling savor in the nostril of God. Beyond that, you have in the Holy of Holies, the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, where God is said to dwell. And we read in the New Testament Scriptures that Jesus once entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What beauty that he saw when he went to the tabernacle. What beauty do we see when we come to the house of the Lord? Do we see Jesus the light? Do we see him the bread? Do we smell the sweet smell? Do we recognize the sacrifice and the provision which God has made? Do we behold such beauty when we come to God's house? Do we remember who God is and what he has done? That's what David wanted to do. That was his desire. That was his heartbeat. And so we find, first of all, this issue that he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. And then secondly, it says that he wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. The last thing is this, and it's found in the latter part of our text. It says, and to inquire in his temple. Now that word inquire in our verse means to seek. And that is pertaining, that which is pertaining to, or it's a contemplation. It's not the same word for seek when you're looking for a job. But this is to inquire of the Lord. And so he wants to consider, he wants to reflect. And so he wants to come to the house of the Lord, he wants to behold the beauty of the Lord, and he wants to inquire in his temple. Can this inquiry only be done in his house? No, I don't think so. But it is the best place. What do you think David is saying here when he says that he came to inquire in his temple? I believe that he came to meditate on the things of God. Oh, by the way, so should we. When we come to the house of the Lord, you ought to come with a desire to meditate upon the things of God. But he also came in order to know God's leading or God's leadership. Remember in those days with the tabernacle that the priests had what was called the Urim and the Thummim. And that's how they discern the will of God. And so they would ask God questions, and the priest would reach into the breastplate and pull out one of the stones, and one meant yes and the other meant no. And that's how they discerned the will of God. And they would come to the tabernacle, and the priest would intercede with them before God, and they would make this inquiry. And you can read it in the scriptures over and over again. David, especially when he was king, sought with the Urim and the Thummim. Do you remember that? So what's David saying when he says, well, I want to inquire into his temple? Is he coming to meditate upon the things of God? Absolutely. And of course, as time evolved and they had teaching and preaching, as the synagogue developed, you have that opportunity to come and to learn and to grow. But he came to know God's leadership. Can you, my friend, learn God's leadership, God's will, from attending the preaching of God's Word and the declaration of the truth that we find in Scripture? Can God guide you? Can God direct you? Can He open up your heart? Can you find leadership in the house of the Lord? I believe that we can. And so I submit unto you that David coming and inquiring in his temple is a statement of his desire to learn of Him. He wanted to know more about his God. So I summarize this point to these two words, to know Him. To know Him. So we've seen in these three items that David wanted to serve Him, and he wanted to worship Him, and he wanted to know Him. And so in the house of the Lord here, David came and he sought for direction and he sought for wisdom. And I submit unto you the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great place to meditate. I mean, you're set apart from the thoughts and the cares of the world. It's a sanctuary, isn't it? This is a place to find direction and through the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. And I encourage you to desire to grow, to learn. Don't be satisfied with the stagnation. How much have you grown since you've been a Christian? We know the Bible teaches us that those who become new Christians are called babies in Christ. I trust that if you've been saved any length of time at all, that you're not still a baby, but that you've grown and developed and matured. That should be the desire of every one of God's people. To inquire into His temple, and so come and learn. And I submit unto you that you can build upon that knowledge. Take, for example, remember in your old school days, whether it's English or whether it's math. Let's take math, for example. When you started out, you learned the 1s, 2s, and 3s, didn't you? And then you learned the addition principles, and then the subtraction principles, and then you learned the multiplication tables, didn't you? Well, you couldn't do that unless you knew the 1s, 2s, and 3s, right? So you had to build on that. So you had some basic understanding, some basic knowledge, and then you gained more knowledge. And then, well, then you started getting into a little bit more complication, and math getting a little bit more difficult. And then you get up there a little bit in junior high and all that, you start doing algebra. You remember algebra? And then algebra 2, calculus. Anybody here take calculus? There's a couple calculus people. That's good. You're a lot smarter than I did. I didn't get that far. But you couldn't get to calculus unless you knew the 1s, 2s, and 3s. And the plus and the minus. And then you had to learn factoring. And I better not try some of these math terms. I might not remember them. But you recognize that, don't you? If you don't learn the basic things of the Word of God, you cannot build on it. You want to come. You want to learn. You want to grow. Get the elemental thing, the basic things of the Scripture. By the sincere milk of the Word, Peter says, that you may grow thereby. Grow, develop, get stronger, know more, build upon those foundations, and advance from simple math to the calculus of spiritual things. David said that he wanted to inquire in his temple. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 84 for just a moment. I'm finished with the passage. I want to read this to you. Because these things which we see David express directly involve the house of the Lord, doesn't it? You here today are involved in the house of the Lord. And we trust you do so on a regular basis. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my God and my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, and the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Do you see the interaction of the psalmist, of his service and obedience to God and his spiritual growth involved with the house of the Lord? Our text, Psalm 27 and verse 4. This verse contains all the aspects of a Christian life. I submit that to you. So may we, like David, may we dwell, may we behold, may we inquire, or as I summarized, may we serve Him, worship Him, and know Him. And we can do so as we come to this house. Our text says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. May God make it so in our lives. Let's stand. Dear Christian, I pray that these things have encouraged you to love the Lord, to love His house. But you that are lost, I want you to recognize that you can hear and know about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll know that truth as it comes from this pulpit as we preach God's Word. You that are unsaved, you need Jesus. He alone can give you eternal life. And if you don't repent and believe on Him, then one of these days when you pass from this life, you'll lift up your eyes in hell. You need Jesus the Savior. And then once you're saved, you need to find a place to worship Him. This is a great place. This is where you can behold Him and worship Him and inquire here. Let's pray. Father, bless Your Word to our hearts. Meet every need. We commit it to You. We love You. We honor You. We praise You. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Number 373.